This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 37.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you tuning in here to a Flip Empire Q&A show. I hope your day is going awesome and that you are moving forward in your business. Again, I think it's awesome that you're taking the time to listen to podcasts and obviously I'm biased. I know your time is well spent here listening to me. At least I think it is anyway. So I'm going to continue pushing forward here. I want to thank you for everybody that's gone to iTunes and to SoundCloud and Stitcher and submitted 5-star ratings and reviews. Believe it or not, it really helps with the ranking of the show, and it also continues to give me motivation to jump on here. Get behind the mic and put out content. I know a lot of people have reached out to me and said they've really appreciated the content I'm putting out. And there's a lot of great information out there, and there's a lot of different places where you can go, to listen to, people talk about real estate investing and building a business. So I really, I don't say it lightly when I say thank you for tuning in and listening here to the Flip Empire Show. And I'm excited. I love podcasting. We're 30 something episodes in. And I'm really, really enjoying it. It's given me the opportunity to connect with a lot of great people, not only, the people that I interview, but also great listeners, and I've seen a tremendous amount of growth and some people that I've connected with have really made some strides. I've had some great strategy sessions with people in the last month or so, and it's just awesome. Everything is really coming together here. So one of the things I wanted to talk about here, because I had a strategy session about a week or two ago. And one of the questions that was asked, a challenge that somebody was having, was that they were locking up properties and they weren't able to move them. And this is actually something that is not to be feared, or it's not something that you should shy away from. To be honest with you, I don't know any wholesaler, or I don't know any investor that bats 1,000%. Nobody, not everybody goes out there, locks up property and sells every single one. There are going to be times where you get a property under contract and maybe you just kind of miscalculated on the ARV, or maybe you just weren't in tune with what the market was doing at that point. And it's happened to us. Matter of fact, just to be totally transparent, it happened to us pretty recent, where, we went under contract with a homeowner, and after repaired value of the property was probably somewhere in the 150s, 160s. And we went out there and we negotiated with the homeowner, and we were not able to get the price, the property under contract at a price that we felt comfortable with. But, considering the area and considering it was, the characteristics of the property, we said, let's give it a shot. I think we can move it. So we got it under contract at $95,000, and, we were marketing this property. One of the things that I've realized over the last 3-4 years is that usually when we grab a property and we market it, if we don't move that property within 24, 48 hours, maybe 72 hours at the most, usually that's a pretty strong indication that either one of two things is happening. In our particular case, that means we probably got it under contract too high because we have a pretty strong buyer's list. But the flip side is that, if you're just getting started out, maybe you just don't have enough buyers on your list. Well, I want to talk to you about a couple different things you can do if you get a property under contract and you're not able to move it for one reason or the other, whether you it's priced too high or whether you just don't have enough buyers. There's some different things you can do. First thing I would do is, if you've been marketing a property, you want to make sure that you're marketing this property not only through email to your buyer's list. We also use Sly Broadcast. If you go to flipempire.com/sly, S-L-Y, you can go ahead and you can create an account. And this is cool. I think I may have talked about this in the past, but you can record a voicemail about that property, about the numbers, and you can, when you send it out, it'll drop that recording right into the person's voicemail box, and their phone won't even ring. So it'll look as if it was just a missed call. So that's one of the things you should be doing. We also use CallFire. If you go to flipempire.com/CallFire, we send out text broadcasts letting our buyers know about a particular deal. And so you want to use all these different channels because oftentimes, you know, if you're doing all right, you're getting 15, maybe 20% email open rate. So a lot of people, you know, either the emails slip through the cracks or they go into the spam box. So you want to make sure that you're leveraging all these different avenues to try to connect with your buyers. So one thing you could do is if it's been 3, 4, 5 days and you haven't been able to find a buyer, connect with some of the local wholesalers in your market and ask them to put it out on their list. Oftentimes they're willing to do so and have a discussion with them. You know, if you have a healthy profit margin built in, you know, figure out what you're comfortable, what you're willing to commit to that local wholesaler, that person, if they find you a buyer. Oftentimes, you know, the wholesalers want to keep it at the price that you're marketing at. Some might add their fee to your price, which is better for you. But either way, you know, if it's been a week or so and you don't get the sense that you're going to be able to find the buyer, connect with your market, you know, connect with your network as well and make sure that, you know, some of the wholesalers that you see moving properties, ask them if they can put it on their list. Okay. Obviously that'll be for some sort of cold wholesale or JV fee. The other thing you can do is put out bandit signs in the area of the property that you're marketing. That's one way to, you know, drive up some activity. Connect with some of the real estate agents in the zip code that have sold properties to cash buyers. So if you have access to the MLS, this is something I know I covered on a previous Flip Empire show, is pull up a list of all the agents that have been involved in a cash transaction in that zip code and connect with them. And with these people, make sure that they add their commission to your wholesale price. Because these people, these agents, oftentimes agents have buyers that will pay the most for these wholesale deals. Oftentimes they have retail cash buyers, which are the best because these people are willing to pay 80, 85, 90 cents in the dollar. So those are some different things you can do to market the property, get it out there, and try to find a buyer through someone else's list or network. But if push comes to shove, you know, if you're going to do this, you know, be careful in how you do it. I never recommend that you get a property under contract with the intention of renegotiating with the seller. But, you know, if you've given it a strong effort and you just, you know, you put the property under contract at a price that just doesn't work because maybe the market, maybe the condition, the area, whatever the case might be, you want to make sure if you're going to take this route of trying to renegotiate with the seller, do it at least a week, week and a half before closing. Some people I've spoken to actually use this as a strategy or tactic, and they might wait 2-3 days before the closing because they know that the homeowner is under the gun. They're ready to close. Not the approach I would take, not really, you know, my style, but whatever works for you, I guess. But if you're going to do this, I would advise and suggest a week or two before closing, just call the homeowner and just be upfront with them and say, listen, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's not going to work at the price that we agreed to. Can you please, you know, give me your email address so I can send you a release and cancellation? And then shut up. Doesn't that sound awkward? Like some of that silence sometimes when you're just quiet, it makes you feel a little weird. That's exactly what you want to feel because most likely that's what the other person's going to feel. And what this does is, you know, you catch them off guard. And then usually when you're pulling away, people are being pulled towards you. And so what it does is, you know, the homeowner is probably going to be caught off guard and they're going to ask you, well, why can't you close or why not? And oftentimes, once you take this approach and you say, listen, unfortunately, just, you know, the condition of the property, the market, you know, I ran it by my partners and just based on the sales in the area, it's just not going to work at this number. Whatever the reason might be that you give that homeowner, by taking this approach of, hey, give me your email so I can send you a release and cancellation, oftentimes they're willing to go back and they're willing to negotiate on the price. Just make sure that when you're marketing the property, one tip I want to share with you is, if buyers are passing on the deal for A or B reason, always ask them, you know, let me ask you, I know that this price won't work for you, but just so I have an idea going forward, if we get something else in this area, on this particular deal, give me an example, like what price would you need to be at for this to make sense? And number one, you're getting feedback, so you're starting to learn the market more. But number two, now you're getting valuable intel that you can use when you go back to the homeowner to try to renegotiate the deal at a price where you know you're going to make a profit. So if you know if you're talking to a bunch of buyers and buyers are telling you, you know, I need to be in the $60,000 range for this to make sense, or I need to be at 55, or I need to be at 50, I need to be at 65. Well, now you know that if you can pick this property up in the 40s, for example, you're in the black. You're going to be able to make a profit. Even if you pick it up at 50 or 55, you might have a buyer at 65. So always encourage feedback from your buyers, and it's going to give you a lot of valuable information that you can use going forward, not only in understanding and getting to know the market better, but also in trying to renegotiate with the seller. So those are a couple different things you can do. And one last tip that I'll suggest to you is if push comes to shove and the seller's not willing to renegotiate, I should say, you know, you've reached out to your network and you know, nobody's able to find the buyer for you. Let's say maybe you have a buyer or two and they've offered you, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of what you're picking up the property for. So let's say, for example, you know, you go under contract on a house at $100,000. We'll just keep the number simple. And you're marketing that property at, you know, $119,900 or $109,900, whatever you're marketing it at, right? Let's say you're not getting any offers at that number, but let's say you got an offer at $100,000. One thing you can do, and this is kind of, you know, a little bit outside the box, is especially if you have a relationship with the buyer and you trust them and you know they know what they're doing, if it gets to the point where you're just going to let the deal go, try to arrange some sort of partnership, like a silent partner arrangement with that fix and flip investor, if that's their exit strategy, and say, listen, I have this property under contract at exactly what you're offering me. So obviously this wouldn't work for me. I'm not, you know, obviously nobody works for free. Here's what I'm willing to do. I can assign my contract over to you so you can close at the price that I'm buying it at. And we work out a percentage that once you resell the property in the back end, I can participate in the profits that you generate from the deal. So, you know, one of the things that we always try to do is the few times that we've had to let deals go, we always explore how can we monetize this lead or this deal. One other thing you can do is partner with another wholesaler and say, hey, listen, you know, we're about to let this thing go. It's not going to work out for us. Here's the contact information for the seller. Why don't you call them and see if you're able to get it, you know, at the price that we need, and partner with them that way. So there's always different ways that you can, you know, approach these situations. If it gets to a point where you're marketing the deal and you just don't feel like you're going to be able to move it, always try to market the property. If I'm going to kind of wrap up this Q&A and all the takeaways, number one, make sure that you're leveraging all the different marketing channels you have. You know, so bandit signs, online marketing, you know, reaching out to the network, reaching out to your network, to wholesalers. But if that doesn't work, try to renegotiate with the seller. Definitely give yourself at least a week and a half buffer time before closing. If that fails, then either partner with a local wholesaler where you outsource the lead to them, they work it, and you work out some sort of JV or co-wholesale arrangement. Or if you have offers in the same neighborhood of what you're picking it up for, assign your deal over to them and then work out a percentage of the retail or the back end profits whenever they retail the property. So hopefully this has been kind of helpful for you, insightful. If you haven't thought of different ways to monetize leads that, you know, or deals that you're just going to let go, hopefully that kind of, you know, sparked, you know, got kind of the wheels churning in your head, and some different ways that you can still try to monetize the deals that appear to be dead. So listen, if you've enjoyed the content, you appreciate it. Again, I'd really love it if you guys can go and submit a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And if you have a question, you can always just go to flipempire.com/question, and I'd be happy to feature it in an upcoming show. So have a great day. Keep rocking, do deals, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course, called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.